back to their land. Oh, God, have mercy. All right. Now, listen to me good. This teaches us a couple of things, being number one, that the current inhabitants of Israel, they not the people, because they was never given a new heart yet. They were never given an ear. They're not believing in Christ or the Bible or the New Testament. They still on the Talmud and playing with children and saying that Jesus is in hell burning in hot excrement. Listen, they have not been given a heart. How can you be in the land if you ain't got the heart yet? You're going to be given a heart and an ear and a praise. You're going to come out of your wicked ways. You're going to remember me and serve me again. I show you all the stuff these people are doing. So how you going to get the land if you ain't been through the revival yet? Oh, come on, somebody. Imposters. Imposters. You see? Secondly, this tells us our prerogative. You see? Hallelujah. Go back to verse 34, please. This tells us our prerogative. You see? All we need to worry about is allowing him to give us that heart, that ear, that praise. All we need to do is serve him. All we need to do is obey him, turn from our wicked ways. You ain't got to be buying no boats and no planes and no ticket to go anywhere, all right? Serve him in the land of their captivity. That's what he said. Serve him in the land of their captivity, all right? And look who he say gonna return him. And I will bring them again. And I feel like Joseph. I feel like Joseph. And I hope the young people listening, when he take us back, bring my bones with you. You understand what I'm saying? I feel like Joseph. Bring my bones with me. Bury me in the land of my fathers. You know? Bury me in the land of my fathers. Because I might not see it, TP. But a generation will see. I'm getting the chills. I'm getting the chills. I'm getting the chills. But a generation will see it. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Let's look at the next verse, and then we're going to get going, yo. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them to be their God, and they shall be my people. And I will no more drive my people of Israel out of the land that I have given them. All right? The interesting thing is that when we look at the Old Testament, just the Old Testament, promises like this, the imposters take it and steal it and say that they apply to Babylon or they apply to Assyria. This is written after Babylon. This is written after Assyria. And this is not about Roman occupation. This is a last days type of a thing. A revival is going to happen to them. They will turn to me. I'm going to bring them back. And I'm never going to remove them again. You understand what I'm saying? And if you know your history, you know that what's going on right now is not what God is prophesying. You see what I'm saying? So when you get some time, go ahead and read your daily scripture. But go ahead and flip through the Apocrypha as well. It's important, amen, to probably get you a modern version. I was reading the King James, and it's a bit tough. Get your modern version and read about it. I've been reading it. Minister Phil been reading it, and some of the other ministers. It's awesome for history. And you realize, amen, you realize when you read it that we the people. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! All right, y'all, that's the Hebrew nugget for today. Hallelujah. All right, y'all, take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 4 in verse 23. Did y'all find that picture yet of a minister? Hallelujah. Come on, did y'all find that yet? Y'all never found it? All right, let's keep on going. There it is. Look at that dude preaching in that thing, bro. No longer will we serve under Ashkenazi oppression. Now, Phil, don't you show my suit? No, Phil, don't you put that up there. All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. That's my brother. Yeah, I love my brother. All right, 423. 422, rather. Amen. The Bible says, for the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of this holy word, that you would attend your scripture with power and anointing, demonstration of signs and wonders and miracles, God, and bless your people in ways that we cannot even articulate, O King. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen, 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 hallelujah. Saint to God, we've been in the book of Acts, amen. And in the book of Acts, we noticed Peter and John going to the temple to pray. While they was going to the temple to pray, there was a man at the beautiful gate. And this man was lame from his mother's womb. He was asking for a donation. And Peter and John say, silver and gold have we not, but what we have we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. This man not only stood up, but he began to leap and shout, and he began to praise Almighty God. Amen. The people began to congregate. Peter preached his second sermon, and 5,000 people were saved. They arrested Peter and John and drug them before the Sanhedrin and asked them by what name and by what power. By what power it was the Holy Ghost, by what name it was the name of Jesus. There's none other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And they told Peter, listen, y'all going to have to stop talking about this. And Peter said, listen, we will obey God rather than man. You judge if it be right, if we should obey y'all more than our God. We can speak nothing but what we've seen and heard, Peter says, amen. Well, they threatened them, amen, and they let them go. And we saw that they let them go because of the sovereignty of God, amen. Nobody can hurt you when God is protecting you. They can't take you before your time, amen, because God is in control, amen. Not only that, hallelujah, they survived the persecution, amen, because they were blameless. They couldn't punish them because they couldn't find fault in them. There was nothing that they had done wrong. But also, amen, we saw in the scriptures that they couldn't punish them, hallelujah, because of the people. They had not only been blameless, but they also had favor with the people. They had a good report, amen, a good reputation. They escaped the persecution, amen, because when they did the miracle, they gave all the glory to God. And the Bible says all men glorified God for that which was done, amen. And that's how they survived persecution. This morning, we want to continue to move, and we want to look at verse 23, amen. And the title of this message this morning, hallelujah, would be Miracles After 40. Somebody say, miracles after 40. Amen. And hallelujah, for those that don't know, it's my birthday Friday, amen, hallelujah. And guess how old I'm making? That's right. And so God, like, just set this up. And I'm preaching this message on miracles after 40. I'm telling you. And it's just such a blessing of a revelation that he dropped upon me. Amen. It has blessed me. It's blessed my house. And I want to share it with you. Amen. And there's some people, amen, that's not yet 40. G-Money, you don't turn 40 till what? November 3rd? November 4th? November 3rd? All right. You know I can't see that, G-Money. I can't see. November 3rd, all right, but you still older than me just because, I'm joking. Now, Phil been 40, and Minister Duck, well, we ain't going to talk about Minister Duck. Deli, all right. But this word is going to be a blessing for those that's coming up on it, because one day you will be, and for those who passed it up, all right? It's going to be a blessing, I'm telling you, because he dropped it on me. It's going to be a blessing, amen. And so we'll have like 5 points this morning, 5 points. And you know what I'm saying? We're going to do more talking this morning than anything else. I just want to reason with you a little bit, amen. And so let's kind of begin. Let me set it up before I even get to point number one. The reason the people surrounding Peter and John and the lame man, the reason they glorified God so much was because the lame man, the Bible says, the impotent man, the paralyzed man, amen, the one who was in this condition since he was born, they glorified God because the healing, verse 22 says, it happened to him after 40. All right? The man was above 40 on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And that's why they glorified God. You see what I'm saying? And you see, he was at an age, amen, when he possibly could have just accepted where he was in life. Because when you get beyond a certain age, sometimes you could just say, well, that's it. That's all I'm going to acquire. That's all I'm going to do in life. You settle on your lees, so to speak. And you just say, well, I guess I'm just going to have to deal with it. That's the way it's always been. That's the way it is. And that's the way it'll always be. But the devil is a liar. Amen. Miracles happen. Woo! After 40. Oh, my goodness. I feel something going on here now. You see? Yeah. That's why they glorified God, you know. This man said, listen, I'm over 40. It's just going to be the same old mundane thing every day, day in and day out, you see. You see, sometimes, hallelujah, is after 40 that people usually get in a rut. They go through like a middle-aged crisis type of a deal. And they get themselves in a rut. They kind of get rusted in. And we believe little sayings that the devil put in our English language that say, hallelujah, you could never teach an old dog new tricks. All right? But my thing is, it depends who the teacher is. Amen? All right? Because if my God, the Most High, is the teacher, the wonderful counselor is the teacher, he can teach an old dog whatever he want to teach an old dog. Donkeys talk when he the teacher, amen? Come on, give God some glory, amen? Yeah. That's what's going on in this text, you see? You see, when they lay cement and they pour it out, when cement is not settled, it's real soft. And you can make impressions on it. I remember we poured a little slab at our house. And I went over there and I put OT Love CD. And I put equals and I put all our children's initials. You could do those type of things with a stick, a twig, when that cement is still wet. You know, if Brother Harold was in here, he'd tell us. He's a master cement man. You can do it with a little twig or your finger. But when that cement settles and when it dries and time set in, the very substance that you could write on with a twig or a finger, once it dries and settles, you can drive an 18-wheeler over it. You can make elephants walk on it. And you could not see a single dent, impression, or crack. How in the world can the same substance be touched with a twig and then because of time can't be moved with an 18-wheeler? You see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? And that's how our hearts can be after time. That's how our hearts can be. After 40, we settle, get hardened, and God can't touch us and move us like he used to move us if we believe the lies of the devil, I'm saying. But we want hearts, amen, that as we grow older in the physical, that the outward man, yeah, it would perish. But the inward man would be renewed day by day, that as we get older, we get more impressionable by God. We get more sensitive to the moving of the Holy Ghost. We get better in the spiritual. No, we might not be able to run as fast or jump as high in the natural. But in the spiritual, some Elijah, some Elisha, some Moses, some Calebs, miracles happen. After 40, oh, I'm about to, oh, let me tell you here. Woo! My birthday message. Thank you, Father. You see? Yeah. They happen. All right? So let's begin with our first point. And I'm going to talk about the type of miracles that can happen after falling. All right? And things that you need to be expecting. Amen? BB, you a long way from it, BB. But just take this sermon and store it. Amen? Because if God spare life, you're going to be where I'm at. Amen. All right? Hallelujah. And so let's think about it here. The first miracle that we need to understand that God can work after 40 is the miracle of salvation. As we look at our text that's before us, this man is impotent, meaning that he is powerless. He is poor, meaning that he's in poverty. He's in lack. He has to depend on other people to help him. Amen. He's not self-sufficient at all. He's a beggar. We need to understand that before Christ, this man's condition is our spiritual condition. Poor in the spirit. Poverty. Paralyzed in the spirit. But the beauty of it is that the Bible says that when we were without strength, come on somebody, impotent, paralyzed, lame, when we were without strength, that Christ Jesus came and he died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. He died for people who was in this spiritual condition of paralysis and impotency and, hallelujah, and lameness. And when were we lame? We were lame from our mother's womb, born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And the wages of sin is death. Amen. And we on our way to hell. Amen. But when most people think about salvation, they think about young people coming to the altar and getting saved. When most people think about salvation, amen, most of their testimony is, I was saved when I was a teenager, or I was saved in Sunday school, or I was baptized when I was young, or I came to the altar when I was in my 20s at Philly. What we need to know this morning, amen, just because you're not a teenager this morning, just because you're not in your 20s, and maybe you might not even be in your 30s, amen, I need to tell you that the miracle of salvation happens above 40. Come on, somebody. Amen. God will still save you. God will still save you. You could be 45, you could be 50, you could be 60, 70, or even 80. You're sitting in this place and you don't know the Lord. Listen to me. God will save you today. But pastor, you don't know, I done lived 40 years for the devil. I understand that. I done lived 40 years in the world. I understand that. I've been doing me for 60 years. I understand that. But my grace is sufficient, God says. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace today. And God's grace will save you. He'll do this miracle of salvation in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. Wherever you are, miracles happen. After 40. Listen to me. There's a brother that comes here to this church. Amen. And he found himself in this condition. You see? And he was over 40 years old. And he was very successful. Still is. You know? Make a lot of money. A lot of friends, know a lot of people, a lot of contacts in the city. Got a wife, kids, beautiful home, new, built. Seemed like life is great. But he noticed that he had everything that he could do, but none of the things that God could give. Amen? And so he had a home, but no peace in the home. And his marriage, amen, was on the rocks, teetering on the edge of divorce. Amen. And he was troubled. He had all the money and he was happy that he could buy different things. But he had no joy. You see? No peace, no joy. And like we said on Tuesday, when you got some things, everybody act like they love you. All right? All right? But there was no true love. And so he was lacking peace and joy and love, and he didn't know what to do and where to go. And talking on the phone, the young lady pointed him to God. And a good brother of his invited him to church. Next thing he know, amen, he don't have no intentions of serving God, no intentions of getting deep into church, amen. He find himself at the altar, amen, getting saved, amen, and everything changes. Now, he done lived 40 years without the Lord. He gets saved at Philly, amen. And he's still blessed. He's still monetarily, hallelujah, on top. But addition to the monetary, addition to the house, addition to the wife, addition to the kids, he got the one needful thing, the most important thing, which is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now the brother got joy unspeakable. Now the brother got peace that passeth understanding. Now the brother have love, and not only love of the people around him, amen, but he got the love of God that passeth all knowledge and wisdom. The brother on fire. Can't stop talking about Jesus. Everywhere he go, he want to witness to somebody. And he told me on the phone, he said, Pastor, I never would have thought that any of this could happen to me after 40. This is what this brother tells me. I said, brother, hold on. I'm coming with a message. You see what I'm saying? Miracles happen after 40. I don't know who I'm talking to. Might be a husband in here. Wife been praying for you for years. And here you are, amen. Listen, you slow to believe. That's not bad as long as you eventually get there. But to that husband, I say, yes, salvation will happen. Even after 40. To that wife. Husband been trying to get you to follow him as he followed Christ. You've been resisting him all these years, amen, when Christ has blessed you with a better husband, blessed you with a better life that you could have, if you would just enter in, amen. But Pastor, it's too late. No, it's not too late. It's never too late for God. Miracles happen after 40, amen. I'm talking to a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, amen, that's over 40. You was raised by that godly mama, that godly daddy. And they gave you, amen, everything they could as far as the scriptures and church. But here you are, amen, playing the prodigal, having fun in the far land, the strange country. And some of y'all mom and daddy even gone, amen. They in heaven. You know exactly where they are, and they looking down at you, amen. I tell you this, you couldn't make mama more proud. You couldn't make daddy more proud, amen, if you allow this miracle of salvation to happen to you after 40. And I know you think, yeah, they're going to be upset with me, amen, because I've been should have had it. Like I said, it's better to get it than not get it at all, amen. So I'm trying my best, Father. I'm trying my best. There's somebody in here, I'm telling you, an older saint, and you need to get this thing. You need to be like the man at the beautiful gate, amen. And people going to glorify God. I know it seemed like you're Johnny come lately, but listen. If God can take you after 50, 60 years and flip the script and change you all together, oh, you know what the people going to say? They look at some of us that's got it when we're young and they say, yeah, well, he's always been that way. But they know you and they know your testimony. They know what you used to do. And when they see this man, this miracle happening to a man that's above 40, they're going to glorify God, and we don't know how many more of your generation we're going to be able to get in church. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Somebody say miracles. Miracles. After 40. Second point, healing and deliverance. Healing and deliverance. Yes. Listen. Just like this man, God will work healings after 40 as well. Deliverance after 40 as well. There's some of you here, amen, and you Christian, we understand that. But you set in your condition like cement. You set in your situation, amen, like cement. Yeah, you saved, amen. But you have this physical condition, this ailment, or you have this physiological addiction. Or you have this terrible, life-threatening, self-destructive habit. and you think the lie of the devil is true, that Christian, you're going to struggle with this and take this thing to your grave, you're never going to be healed. You're never going to be delivered. And you done bought the lie that miracles can't happen after 40. But God brought me here this morning to let you know that nothing is too hard for our God, and that with man things are impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. Yes, yes, yes. God will deliver you and God will heal you. Amen. Even after 40. Listen, isn't that what happened to this man at the beautiful gate? And some of y'all looking at him and saying, huh, he not a believer. But you in the same situation. You in the same situation. You see, you've been on that drug. Amen. All your life. You've been on them cigarettes all your life. You've been on that drink. Same drink all your life. Every picture is like timeless. The can don't change. Only you change. We can go from young to old and you've got the same can, the same. Y'all laughing. Or some of y'all got the same. Are you in the same relationship habits? Promiscuous and not marrying from man to man and woman to woman. And you feel like nothing can change. You like that woman of Samaria that Jesus met at the well, settled in her condition, and had five husbands shacking up with number six until she ran into Messiah. Woo! On the road to Samaria. You understand what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you that miracles happen. Miracles of healing and deliverance happen after 40. Meaning that you don't have to continue to mess and meet and rendezvous with the men that you always met with and rendezvous with since high school. You don't have to do that no more. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. You ain't got to drink no more. You ain't got to smoke no more. You don't have to do any of those things anymore. You don't have to do that no more. Because miracles happen after 40. Man of God, you ain't got to struggle, amen, going from pillar to post and woman to woman. You ain't got to do that. You ain't got to be on marriage number 9 and marriage number 10. You don't have to do that in the double digits. Miracles happen after 40. Aren't you glad that God still move, amen? Yeah. Some people settle down after 40. And they don't expect another miracle until the return of Christ when he split the eastern sky. As though they hit a calendar year and God changed. Because of the number of years they've been on the planet, like God changed. You see? They done forgotten the stories of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who, when Abraham and Sarah were way beyond childbearing years and their body, amen, was as good as dead, the book of Romans tell us. That God, amen, who is able to speak those things that are not as though they were, called out life from something that was dead. I don't know who I'm talking to in here. But you feel like Abraham. You feel like you're on the way down. You feel like, amen, your life and your body is as good as dead. You done misunderstood the biblical way that we're supposed to live this life. You done bought the TV and the Hollywood deception of what life is supposed to be. I'm about to get to it here in a second. You done turn on your TV and saw all the superheroes that's young. And all the stars that's young. And you don't believe the lie that only those, amen, that look like they teenagers could shape history and change the world. But you got to understand that the devil is a perverter of the truth. Yeah. Oh, God! And anything that is true, Brother Frank, he going to flip it on his head. Oh, God! Y'all got to hear me up in here. And the very ones that the world is waiting on are the ones that are sitting and settling down and retiring to do nothing. Miracles still happen after 40. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! My goodness, my goodness. Remember Elizabeth and Zechariah and how miracles begin to happen. So don't count God out, saints. He can still heal you of your physical diseases and work deliverance. Let's move on to point number three. Point number three, revival. Revival. Well, not only can God save after 40, deliver and heal after 40, amen, but God can revive after 40 as well. I hear in the spirit right now, can these dry bones live? Amen. Woo, dry bones. Old bones. Stuff that they done gave up on. Can they live? God said, can they not only can live, but I'm going to make them a mighty army. Oh! Yes. God will work miracles after 40, saints. You see? For too long, saints, the American church has been, hallelujah, youth-driven. Youth preoccupied and youth obsessed. You see? The church, amen, is really focused as a whole on kids and on the youth. You ever notice that? Now, Philly is not like that. And some of y'all ain't never been to another church but Philly. But we have. You got to go to a lot of churches, and they'll cancel midweek for the adults so the kids can have a midweek. We have churches that's more kid and youth driven than anything else. I always ask the question when I see methods employed in the church. The question I ask is, how is that working for you? How is that working for you? We have a generation of churches. I can name the denomination who's the best at it, but I don't want to start no trouble. We have a generation of churches that's only been youth-focused, youth-driven, youth-obsessed, but the church is the weakest it's ever been. The church is the most sinful it's ever been. And we are living in a time where passing the baton of Christianity to the next generation is the most ineffective than it's ever been. So how in the world are we going to spend all of our money, all of our time building up facilities, giving them their own church on Sundays, giving them their own pastors, doing everything driven for the youth? And more I'm turning homosexual. Atheist. And leaving God. Houston, we have a problem. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. Let me preach to the church. Let me preach to the church. You see? Yeah. The church is no better for it. You see, the problem is that when you teach kids and you focus on youth, and I'm not saying don't give them Jesus, suffer the little children to come unto me. But don't be exclusively focused on them to the exclusion of the adults, to those that's over 40, as though miracles can't happen over 40, as though you've given up on us, as though, amen, we have all the knowledge we need to know and all the worship we need to do. Let's just give it to the kids. How's that working out? See, the problem with that philosophy of ministry is this. You can give the kids whatever you want while they're at church. But when they go home, the biggest influence on children are the people you're neglecting, which are the parents and the 40 pluses. Oh. You think children gonna live like their youth pastor or their mama? Their youth minister or their daddy? So here we are forsaking the 40 pluses to deal with the youth When the 40 pluses are the ones that really govern and rule the homes, and that's the son, that's who the son looking at to know how to be a father and a daddy. Oh, y'all got to hear me up in him. Do you see the slick hands of the devil here? To get the church's focus off of what it needs to be on. See, it's the 40 pluses that's the heads of home, the husbands and the wives, the mamas and the daddies. It's the ones that's out there working. You see? It's the ones that's governing, amen, the affairs of family life. So this youth obsessed, youth preoccupied, youth driven church, amen, is doing church on the philosophical lie of the adversary. And it's not working out. My saints, listen, revival needs to happen to the 40 pluses. All right? What I mean by 40 plus, everybody over 40. Now, Pastor, we 20, we 30. Yeah. Revival can happen to y'all too. But listen to me. Revival need to happen to the 40 pluses, man. You just don't understand, all right? You don't understand. They lead the homes. And revival starts in the homes. If mom and daddy on fire, your children on fire. If children on fire, the school is on fire. The school is on fire, the community on fire. Community on fire, the city on fire. City on fire, state on fire. State on fire, country on fire. Country on fire, world on fire for Jesus. All starting with mom and daddy. Bad ministry philosophy. Bad ministry philosophy. And you have no idea how many Hebrews, amen, and Europeans and Gentiles, they go into these churches only because they're kids. They got the best youth, and my kid love it. Great! Great! And they're going to go there and have fun while you waste away spiritually. While you die. While you regress spiritually. And they're going to go there and have fun, but they're going to watch you slip back into alcoholism and slip back on drugs and slip this man in your house at night and this woman. And you think having fun at you church is going to have more effect on their life than you going back to Sodom and Gomorrah, the far country, going back like a pig back to the mud. No. We got church wrong. We revive the 40 pluses. We give them the word. We teach them worship. We continue to sharpen them. And when they are sharp, they will produce sharp children. You can't raise what you are not. You can't give birth to what you don't have. Woo! I'm calling all the saints back to true church. I'm calling all the saints back to old church. I'm calling all the saints back to the old paths, the old ways. Come back to church. Leave you church alone. Leave daycares alone. God ain't never spoke of a youth church or a youth pastor. He ain't never spoke of that. And I'm not saying they can't have a little fun every now and then and go and meet and sharpen each other through koinonia. But don't you dare get it twisted. You don't ever judge a church by what they do with the kids. You judge them by what they do with God's adults. Come on, give God some glory. Going to a church because of your children. There should be no Hebrew ever mentioning no stuff like that. You see? Revival miracles happen over 40. We need to get back to it. We need to get back to it. You see, it's at that age when you hit 40, 50, 60, 70. Where different sins begin to come out of us. For some of y'all, it's not the sins of our youth, even though we still have some feisty 50, 60, 70s. I'm going to leave it like that. But there are other sins that attack us. Sins of complacency. I'm good. Sins of lukewarmness. I was on fire back then. I could settle down now. Sins of losing, amen, the fire. Losing the first love. Sins of regression when you hit 40. You can get tempted after 40 to get bored with God. To get bored with the things of God. You've been in that Bible as though it were 20, 30 years. And it just don't read the same as though something changed with the Bible. Ain't nothing changed with the Bible. Something done changed with you. All right? We look at the Bible like a literary piece of work as though it were gone with the wind or old yellow, and we say, I done read it 10, 20 times. I don't have to read it again. The devil is a liar. You would never say, I ate red beans 20 years. I don't have to eat it again. I ate shrimp 10 years. I don't have to eat it again. It's not an issue of entertainment. It's an issue of nourishment. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is not a book like Harry Potter. This is our daily bread. So you read it to stay spiritually fit and nourished. Over 40, we can kind of lose our love, our first love for God and the things of God. We got to be careful as we begin to reach this precipice of age. We got to know that God revives and continues to revive even after 40. You can hit 40 and keep the fire. Hit 50 and keep the love. Hit 60 and keep the passion for him. In love with him like a teenager. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's my mission in life. And I can be 60, 70 plus, and when they call on the old boy, God spare life, to come back to the altar when it's time, I can come back with a fire from heaven. May the fire of my altar never burn out. May it never burn out. May it never burn out. How in the world you going to, say I'm good. Say I'm good. No. Revival happens after 40. You hear me, John? We keep the fire going, baby. Class of 94. Hallelujah. My wife is laughing, y'all. Yeah. We get tempted, y'all. We get tempted. Yeah. They get used to God and begin to treat God like God common. They even slow down, not only just reading their Bible and praying, they slow down coming to church. Hey! Glory! Our 40 pluses? Ain't no slow down. Ain't no slow down. I remember David. David said, while I have my breath, I'm going to praise the Lord. While I got my strength, I'm going to come up on in here. You with me so far? I remember they used to, hallelujah, push Miss Sylvia Briscoe in here in a wheelchair. Had trouble breathing. That's all right. Give me oxygen to go because I got to go to church. You understand me? In God's spare life, B, we're going to be racing in our wheelchair. B, you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing, B. And where we going to be coming? To the house of the Lord. You know why? Because you come while you can come, man. Because there will be a day when you can't get here no more. And when that day comes, then you got to stop. But until that day comes, I will be in the house of the Lord. I will be in the house of the Lord. Because he hasn't given up on me. Miracles still happen after 40. As though I can't come to the house like God ain't going to work something special for me. Oh, no, 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 no. We don't believe the lie. And listen, I'm going to show you in a second. It's a worldview. It's something the devil has strategically put in place in the hearts of the people. And the time when you're supposed to be your most valuable is when he sits you down at home by yourself doing nothing. No, 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 no. Not in this church. And not with this pastor. Not with this pastor. You know what I'm saying? I was going to say Deacon Cardell going to be rolling in, but I'm going to be rolling Deacon Cardell in. They're going to say, who's security? You know? But he bad on wheels. Y'all don't know he bad on wheels. Hallelujah. I'm just playing, Deli. The miracle of revival. You see? Yeah. Revival can happen. You know, we need to get like David when David prayed. And we got to be able to feel when that lethargy is coming on. You see? And we got to be like David when David prayed and Psalm 51, he wasn't ashamed to say, God, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I want the fire again. I want the fire again. You see? I want the fire again. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. So revival happens. Revival happens. And I'm telling you, listen, this youth-driven thing to try to build the church up and revive the church is not working. It's not working. We need a different ministry philosophy. Amen. And that's when God just gonna set it off. You know, I bet we study revivals of time past. Amen. And very few revivals have ever jumped out of children's church. Or the puppet show that they have going on in the nursery. You see? Point number four. Miracles still happen after 40. And I'm going to talk with you about the miracle of being used by God. He'll work the miracle of salvation, healing, deliverance, revival. But he also wants to use you even after 40. Even after 40. Pastor, where you going here? You see? The miracle of God using you to do great things don't stop when you reach a certain year. It doesn't. You see what I'm saying? We forget the character of our God. And when you know God's character, not just a few scriptures, but you know his ways. The ways of God is never to put somebody on a shelf because they get a certain age. That's the mindset the world has given us. But God? Mm-mm. God normally saves the best. Oh, he saves it for last. I'm trying to drop on you his character. You know what I'm saying? Not to get nobody drinking again, but remember the wine miracle? They say he saved the best wine till the end. You know, now that's something different than what y'all going to try to get, you know. So I rebuke that, cast that down in the name of Jesus. But look at the principle that I'm talking about. He saves the best for last. Now just imagine, when I'm supposed to be at my best years, that's when I allow the devil to sit me. The dude is brilliant, man. He playing humanity, yeah. On a variety of different fronts. I'm seeing him more than I've ever seen him. And so what we do, we believe the Hollywood lie. Pastor, what's the Hollywood lie? Well, in Hollywood, my cousin, when they get a certain age, they done with you. After you have a baby or you get a certain age, they're done with you. We can't. You might still act in a few little places here and there, but you're not the heartthrob no more. They done found another little girl that's underage to be that. And so since TV is the world's prophet, and whether you know it or not, we derive our value in who we are, and we are programmed by this tube and the way Hollywood does things. When we get a certain age, we begin to retreat and regress as well. And we begin to leave the work to the young folk. 40, 50, 60s, listen to me now. We began to leave the work to young folk. And we want to leave the field when the young folk need us the most. You with me so far? Woo! Yeah. The miracle of being used by God. Don't let the devil check you out the game too early. Don't let the devil say that God can't use you. You got to know his character. You got to know that Moses didn't really get going until, hallelujah, 80 years old. Moses was going. You got to be like Caleb who was still conquering and destroying. Seizing land for Judah. Amen. Even in old age. You see? You got to be like Daniel. Hallelujah. Who, even when he got older, still was able to hear from God, prophesied to nations. Daniel's usefulness to God outlasts empires. You see? He started off with Babylon, moved to the Persians and Medes. Amen. And they were switching kings and kingdoms. But guess who was still there? Daniel. And still being used. Some of y'all think your usefulness is just until 40 or 45. The devil is a liar. Oh, come on, man. I'm going to tell you another way that the devil has lied to us. You know what we living for? We living for retirement. We living for retirement. And I don't mean to bust your bubble, but there is no such thing as retirement in the Bible. All right? Now wait. I'm not saying that you can't stop working hard like you used to. You ain't got to be digging posts and you're 75. You know what I'm saying? You're not going nowhere in that dirt. You know? I'm not saying that. But some of y'all done took the retirement philosophy and you retiring from serving the Lord. Woo! What you mean, Pastor? Well, we all going witnessing. We going to do the grocery drive. We going to pass out flyers. We doing the campaign. And here you are, we going to leave that to the young people. The young people. We got nursery. We got video. We have security. We have ushering. We have hospitality. We got meals ministry. We have first responders. We have all kind of ministries. Amen. But we got a lot of our 40, 50s. We're going to leave that to the young people. As though they're going to retire from the Lord. When we need them the most. You see? I'd like to see somebody on that camera. We got to help up every Sunday. Just help them up. Come on, get them up there. I'd like to see somebody working a sound with a hearing aid. What? Turn that all the way up. Good. I like to see that old boy in security with a cane, but you don't know what that cane turned into. Brother, you don't know what I used to do, boy. You see, there's times in on an athletic team where, hallelujah, you got young players. But a wise coach will get old veteran. For not so much of what he could do on the field, but what he could show the next generation. You with me, Mo? Because you take a Jerry Rice and you put him on the side of a Plexico Burris. Or you put him on the side. Not so much that he could do all the physical things, but the mindset, the integrity, the work ethic, the way of life. You got intangible 40 pluses that we need in the church. No, you ain't picking up heavy stuff and doing that. No. Listen, I do it myself. I say, B, come grab that, B. Get some young muscle on that. I grab that, some will crack on. Oh, my knee, my leg. But we got intangibles, Kendrick. Well, you know, wait up, Kendrick. You close. We got intangibles, Sean. You see? Miss Earlene. You see? Miss Connie. We got intangibles. Miss Mary. Bridget, you there yet? Briscoe, you there yet? We got intangibles, Frank. Ham, duck, we got intangibles.
You close, Billy Clay, don't you play around with me, Billy Clay.
Northside, listen. We got intangibles. That's useful. All right, hold on. Don't leave me yet. All right. Look with how God rules. Job 8:7. Look his character. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. That's his style. We live going down when God said you're supposed to live going. Let me break through the lie. You see? Look at Haggai 2:9. The glory of this latter house, the later house, shall be greater than the former. He's a God that increases in glory. We move from glory to glory, strength to faith to He's a progressive, accumulative God. You say, but Pastor, why am I getting weaker and I'm getting older? No. You're missing the point. It's on the inside is what God is after. It's on the inside is what he's after. You see? Let me give you another one. Y'all not getting bored? Come on, let me give y'all another one. In Job 42:12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. We could just stop right there. I wonder how many people are forfeiting, aborting, euthanizing their latter end. We cutting him short. When God said, I know the plans I have for you. And God got this whole portfolio of what he wants you to do. And listen, you probably hadn't even tapped into the best yet. But because of Hollywood and retirement, we draw a line in the sand for God. And God said, but wait, I got all of this other stuff. You see? Be used of God. Don't leave it to the young folk. You know? The young folk is, while we in the mess, we in now. What you mean, Pastor? Well, listen, the church is being ruled by young folk right now. All right? Because the 40-pluses are sitting back prematurely. I see pastors all the time. They think it's being spiritual to pass the baton early. But they're doing it too early. They're doing it too early. I watch a dude, he like 50-something. Listen, to me, he was at his best. I just said, ooh, now he really teaching the word. And right when he was at his best, seemed like the anointing that just fell, he checked himself out the game. But what model are you following? Because that's not what Moses did. They had to tell Moses when it was time. Moses was still going. Moses was like, look, I mean, there's the promised land border. Moses walking right up on it. God said, hold up, Moses. You can't go. What you mean I can't go? You know what I'm saying? Moses ready to go. God had to check him out. No, go up in the mountain. Mean you're going to talk slow. It's time to pass it on. But who decided to pass what on? God decided. We got men deciding and women deciding. No. God going to decide. You see? Come on, Pastor. Come on. I heard one preacher say that the church is infatuated with the young. And he say there's an epidemic of immaturity leading the church under the guise of energy. Pastor, they got all the energy. They got all the fire. But the problem is energy and fire without light, without vision, without wisdom, without knowledge, without experience is destructive. God said you should never have zeal without knowledge. You should never have passion without wisdom. But our people that been places, because a lot of the young ain't been nowhere. And you done been someplace. You done served some overseas. You done started some businesses. You've been places. You've done things. Yeah, you've made some mistakes, but you've learned from the mistakes. You got a whole life, a wealth of knowledge. But here you are, you ready to check out and pass it to somebody who ain't done nothing, ain't never seen nothing, never been nowhere. Don't know ni, ji, no, ha. And it's not time. You don't know nothing. Don't you see the gap in our culture? Don't you see the void that you have left? We have a generation that don't know where they're going. Because all the people that can tell them, retiring. Don't want to be used no more. Listen, in a couple of weeks, my wife is going to be doing a Titus ministry night on the ladies' side of ministry. She's going to call up all the Titus women up, sit them on the stage. Not all of them, maybe some that she select and choose. If you're interested in being used, stop by the information center or maybe pull her coattail and talk with her. We're not trying to keep nobody out. But on that night, we're going to let the Titus women come up. Because the Bible says, hallelujah, Miss Amisha, hallelujah, Miss Amisha. Because the Bible says in Titus 2, let the older teach the younger. Woo! They're going to come up. And they're going to ask some questions about children and about raising and about working and about the different experiences in life. I'm getting the chills. There's a gap, Shalanda. See, me and my little wife, we go sit and talk with the older generation. We love it. I remember we went to Brother John and Miss Juanita's house. We stayed up late. Look, we stayed up late like some young folk. You understand what I'm saying? Eating crawfish etouffee. You remember that? Just sitting down and just talking. I love that. That's what our generation needs. Look, I'm just going. I can't stop now. But when we have the 12 groups, the 40, 50, 60, they don't want to be in the 12 group. They don't want to be in the 12 group. I'm good. Yeah, you good. But what about God using you? What about another young man? What about another young woman? Listen, minister, tell me now. Am I lying? We got, man, listen. And the mole boy is sitting at home doing nothing. No, not nothing. Nothing. All them boy watch is John Wayne all day. John Wayne. That's all them boys doing. When them boys need to be being used by God, God can still use you. After 40, get yourself in a 12 group. Oh, God. I can't stop. I'm getting mail over and over again. What mail you just got, Pastor? I got some mail. Use it. God has a natural law. It's the law of atrophy. Atrophy. Ms. Connie, know what I'm talking about? Meaning that when you just sit down and you do have, I had a lot back then. I'm just joking. I'm 40 plus. Listen. When you take that off the. Strike that from the record. When you don't use a muscle, it dies. Shall I go on? Use it or lose it. You'd be surprised, 40 pluses, of the reinvigoration of the life, of the strength you will receive from the Most High. When you tell God, God, I am going to be used. See, God's just not going to send his strength to you for you to sit on the sofa and for you not to serve and for you not to pour into the next generation. You see? You'd be surprised how your mind will get sharp again, how your body will get strong again. I look at it when I see grandmothers that got to raise small kids. Before them small kids move in, she come in here, look, she come in here on a walker. She get them small kids because of some trouble that done happened. She run around, come in, look, Johnny, don't you? You like, Miss Verner, that's you? Yeah. Because God gives us energy. When we need to produce. Is this all right for y'all? Y'all all right? We're putting too much faith in youth. That's why y'all backing up too early. You see? 1 Kings 20 and verse 11 is probably one of my favorite scriptures. It says, and the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girded on his harness boast himself, brag as he that put it all. It's one of my favorite scriptures. You put too much faith in the youth. They never even put their armor on yet. They never put their armor on yet. And the new king was wanting to fight the old king. And he was talking like he going to break the old king up. And the old king say, young man, don't you be all proud You never even put your armor on yet. We thinking that the youth is the answer to all the world's problems. And they never even put their armor on yet. They hadn't done anything yet. They hadn't done anything. And so what you do, here you are, you're the one that done fought the victories, won the battles, been through hell and back. You got medals on. The ministry been needing you, and it worked with your people getting saved, nursery working good. You got, listen, you got medals of honor on you, and you going back up for somebody who ain't even never even put their armor on before? Ain't accomplished nothing? On a hope? On potential? Nah. Moses stayed with Joshua and raised him up. Even watch him, send him into the battle. Joshua, you go down there. We're going to get you some medals of your own so that when it's time to transition, you're going to have some accomplishments before I leave so I can know that you can handle what we need to handle. Stop handing the church over. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! All right. Here's the last point, saints. Be did I forget anything? All right. Tell me after church if I forgot something. Being used of God. Here's the last miracle. Amen. Here's the last miracle. Hallelujah. And, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing. Yeah, I just saw something. Our older saints want to hand it off to people who really don't have time. The younger generation got kids. They got a lot of work, and they got a lot of things to do. And you got John Wayne. So here we are at Philadelphia, and the young folk are doing most of the work, but they got to go to dance, and they got to go pick up kids at the game, and they got to do this, and you watching John Wayne. You know how much we can get done? Y'all kids grown. Y'all ain't got nothing to do, y'all. You know, and I'm not saying you don't have nothing to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure Texas Ranger, you know, Walker, Texas. Come get to work, man. Come get to work. You know how that school over there, PCA, could use some of y'all? Come on, give God some glory, amen. Here's the last point, amen. The last point is finish well. Miracles after 40. You see? Salvation, healing, deliverance, revival, being used by God. Finish well. Finish well. This is the miracle that I want for my life. Finish well. God, amen, can allow us to finish well, those who are over 40. The 40-pluses are usually in the hardest part of the journey. Amen. They call it the middle mile. You see? And I'm not talking about the 70, 80s and all that. I'm talking about 40, 50, 60 in the middle mile. You see, whenever you start a journey, it's exhilarating at the beginning. Ooh, let's go, y'all. And when you're about to get to the city where you're at, ooh, we in Atlanta, ooh. But it's that middle part. When you're driving through Alabama and they ain't got nothing. The middle mile. The middle mile can be the toughest. It's what we would call the heat of the day. It's what we would call that after lunch hour work, after you done been to Laura's or Veronica's. And you got to get to work after that plate lunch. So it is with our Christian work and our Christian journey. The start of serving Christ is exhilarating. And it's a wonderful time to be in that place. And you're full of fire and you're full of passion. But there's a dangerous place. When you've been serving him some time, amen, and youth is gone and you're in that middle-aged section, it's a dangerous place. It's a place where we kind of at a crossroads, where we going to finish well or we just going to kind of roll over the finish line. I want to finish well. You see? I want to finish well. In fact, if I can, I would love to finish better than I started. We got some of y'all teetering, man. Just going down, man. You want to be the athlete, amen, that when the fourth quarter come, that's when the real you come out. When everybody else, Marcus, tired on the field. You know what I'm saying? But you done put in your work, amen. And that's when you're going to make the biggest impact in the game. It's that fourth quarter. You see? But it's also in that time where we have the saints in the Bible make the greatest mistakes. David sinned with Bathsheba when he had crossed the 40 line. You see? King Asa turned away from God after the 40 line. Uzziah was lifted up with pride after the 40 line. Walk up in the temple. Hezekiah lifted up, showing all of his stuff to Babylon. Amen. It was after 40. Gideon even began to falter after his victories in his youth when he crossed the 40 line. And we all know about Solomon. When he got a certain age, how he allowed idolaters to change his heart towards God. I'm wondering, how many of us going to make it? How many of us going to not only start, but finish? You see? Because my friends, the race is not given to the swift or to the strong, no. We don't want shooting stars, no. We don't want comets that light up the sky for a second. We want stars that stay fixed and shine for years. You see? Old folk used to say, it's not how you start. It's how you finish that count. How are you finishing 40 pluses? I want to be like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Will you keep the faith? Will you fall away like so many of them? Will you do all these great things, all these great accomplishments for God, build churches, have mega churches, be blessed and have a family only to end up in the pit of depravity? You don't have to. Because my God still worked miracles after 40. Saints of God, listen, that's all I have for you today. I hope it's been a blessing to you. You see, we're going to do all to call. There's some here, amen. This sermon, it fits you like a glove. To begin with, you're over 40 and you're not saved yet. you're going to come and get the first miracle this morning. You're going to admit that you're a sinner from your heart. I'm wrong. And you're going to believe in your heart he died to save me. Buried. Third day. Rose from the grave. This is your morning. It was your message. This was your morning. But there's some that need healing and deliverance. You're struggling with a sickness or some type of bad habit. And you thought that you'd be with this thing or this thing would be with you forever. The devil is a liar. You're going to come to this altar too. And God's going to heal. He's going to deliver. Amen. And he's going to get the glory for it because your friends and everybody else going to see it. You know how long you've struggled with this? And you're going to tell them God worked miracles after 40. Then there's this group, amen, who done got cold on the Lord. Done reached that age and like, I'm good. And you need a personal revival. Your philosophy has been, leave it to them young ones, but them young ones need you. You're going to come to the altar too. Some of you, you're not in no 12. You're not working in no ministry. You're not, you don't want to be used no more. Come and renew your mind at this altar. And then there's some who have been going down instead of going up. And it's looking like instead of riding off into the sunset, you're going to crash and burn. You're going to come and pray with me that you finish well. If you're here and you need this altar or one of these things applied to you, when the music starts, you can come. You can come. And if there's young people in this audience as well and you want to be saved, you can come too. It's not like I'm saying that the altar is just for the 40 pluses this morning. Not at all. But if you feel like what I'm saying applied to you, please come. Please come. Please come. See, in my Bible, God has some work he needs done. You may be the man, the woman, for the job. You know, some people receive their calling later in life. But the important thing is that he calls and that you answer. Hallelujah. Sister, come on back and stand in the front right here. I saw you standing. You're backed up, so humble for other people. No, you, I don't, you could stand right there. This altar belongs to you too. Amen. This altar belongs to you too. Yeah. Yeah. We love all the children of God. You see? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. If you can, just close your eyes and we're going to do a special encounter with God. Imagine yourself looking at him. Just tell him, say, God, I'm sorry for all my sins. I thank you that you work miracles. Even after 40.
Even after 40.
And Lord,
Lord,
I need one of those miracles.
I need one of those miracles.
To start with,
I need you to save me.
I believe
that you died on the cross.
I believe
that you were buried in a grave.
And I believe
on the third day
you rose
with all power
and all might.
And all might.
Lord, save me,
a sinner.
But don't stop with salvation.
I need you to heal me.
Deliver me.
If there's anything
that's hindering
my life,
oh God,
work a miracle
after 40.
I need you to revive me.
When I grow cold,
when I grow lukewarm,
restore the joy
of my salvation.
God, I'm asking you to use me.
While I have any strength,
it's yours.
Use me up, God.
And when I'm weak,
you be strong.
And Father,
last of all,
I want to finish well.
I want my latter
end
to be greater
than my beginning.
Use me, Father.
I'm ready.
Bless me, Father.
I'm ready.
Fill me up, Father.
I'm ready.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Come on, give God some glory.
Give him some glory.
Miracles.
Love you. After 4.
Love you too, brother.
Love you too.
Miracles.
Saints, we're going to do the Lord's Supper. And if our ushers can come and squeeze through, amen. Just want to tell you, God's not done with you yet, y'all. God's not done with you yet.
Oh, no.
He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet.
Hallelujah.
I done forgot about the babies.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you will, take one of these and return to your seat. Those that's in the back, you can take you one as well. Amen. From our stations in the back. If you're here and you don't really love God and you're playing with God and don't really want God, I would say refrain from taking communion. But if you're here and you want to take communion, be asking God to forgive you and wash you of your sins. Amen. Miracles after 40.
Oh, Sam Payne.
Love you, brother.
In the name of Jesus. Healing upon you in Jesus' name. What's going on? What's going on?
Miracles after 40. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That was all right, Brother Harold? You did a good job back there for a minute. That concrete work is a blessing.
Hallelujah.
Well, y'all, if you can go ahead and get the bread ready, taking it out the plastic. The Bible tells us, amen, that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples. And he told them, he said, take this and eat all of it. This is my body, which is broken for you. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. And so right now, that's what we're going to do. We're going to remember him. Now he was broken, that we might be made whole. Father, we thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and open the cup. The Bible says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, and he said, drink ye all of it. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, the new testament. Because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness or no remission of sins. And so we thank him that every single drop of blood that he shed washes us, purges us of our sins. So God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. And we're praying that if there's anybody sick or hurting or in pain, that you'll heal them. The Bible says, by your stripes, we have been healed. We thank you and we remember your blood now in Jesus' name. Let us drink. Woo! Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Saints, we're going to do the doxology. You can pass your cups, amen, to the side and our ushers will get them. You'll bless them. Hallelujah. We're going to sing that doxology, and then we're going to get out of here. Grace is going to help me with that. Hallelujah. And y'all can help her with that. Amen. Hallelujah. 1, 3. 1, 2, 3. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son.
Praise Father, Son.
The church says,
amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he bless you with peace, with shalom. I pray he fill you up and your latter days be greater than your beginning. I pray he bless you. Your children, woo, and your children's children. I pray he prosper you in everything that you do and everything that you touch. I pray his favor be upon you. You have a great and mighty week this week. Miracles can happen even after 4.
Marie, can you read this? This letter from the insurance company. And the settlement, remember you said all the hospital bills and everything to be, but she's trying to make sure.
I'm going
to
check it out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Lynn.
Okay.
Love y'all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Boy, you sure, boy. God bless y'all. Look at my brother. That's nice, bro. Whoa, what's going on? How's everything? You good?
We speak life to you. You can depend on God to see you through. You can depend on me to pray for you.
You may have gone through some difficult times. Might be hurting, but listen.
You might be hurting.
You might be crying.
You might be crying.
You might be worrying.
You might be worrying.
And frustrated too.
Frustrated too.
But let me encourage you.
Let me encourage you.
Ooh, let me speak life
to you.
You can. You can. And I know
you can depend on me,
hey,
to pray for you.
This is what you gotta do.
Pray.
I'm gonna keep on
praying.
I'm telling you to pray.
I'm gonna keep
said, you can depend.
You can depend on me.
I'm gonna pray for you. One more time,
I'll pray for you.
I really will, y'all.
You pray for me
and watch God and watch God.
Watch God change me.
Have I got a witness out there? Oh, I'll pray for you.
I'll pray for you.
And you pray for me.